Welcome to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. From handguns to rifles and hunting to self-defense, even a bit of politics. It's time to exercise your First and Second Amendment rights. Call and join the conversation, 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Dick Kupke.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Trigger Talk. And here we are on the last Saturday of February, February 27th. It's a beautiful blue day outside today and it's actually warming up. So has it been a wonderful week or what? I mean, although it's kind of sloppy out, obviously, when you get that much snow melting. We were out slogging around in it with my grandkids this week, and we were finding patches of ice still for them to slide on. So a lot of fun. Let's see, you can go to a Michigan gun show if you live near Flint, Michigan. There is a, at the Dort Federal Event Center in Flint, Michigan, is the Flint Gun and Knife Show today. If you want to go to one in Ohio, there's the Springboro Flea Market in Franklin, Shelby County Gun and Knife Show in Sydney, Ohio, Stark County Fairgrounds in Canton, Ohio, Cuyahoga, I hope I say that right, Cuyahoga Falls Gun Show in Amedeo and Sons Banquet Center in Cuyahoga Falls, and the Springfield Gun Show at the, C&E Springfield Gun Show at the Clark County Fairgrounds in Springfield. And also the Special Ops Show. That intrigues me. I would like to go to that one. That's at the Washington Courthouse. Oh, believe it or not, no, Fayette County Fairgrounds. It's the Washington Courthouse Special Ops Show. That sounds interesting. Turns out that the town is actually named Washington Courthouse, Ohio. How about that? Let's see. We've got the Missouri Gun Shows. We've got, there is one. Nope, there, let me see, March, nope, don't have any in Missouri this week. That's, I've actually got the wrong, here we go. That one was a little bit forward-looking advance there. February 26th through 28th, the MACA Arnold Gun Show in Arnold, Missouri, the RK Lebanon Gun Show in Lebanon, and New York has none till April 24th. You guys ought to have a little underground gun show or something out there. Mike, give us a call. Where could we do that? That would be fun. Actually, there is, I was tempted, very much tempted to do a best of show. Listener Russ sent me a email, and there is just over here in Tipton, Michigan, right now from 10 o'clock till 2 o'clock is a huge gun auction. And they had like 751 pictures of guns up, all collectors kind of guns. I mean, there are Garands and carbines and hey, you guys that live out that way might want to look it up. I can see, I think it's Bauer is the name of the auction house. And it's, I'll see if I can get that at the break. And then you could still make it for part of it. They had, gosh, some of the guns that I really liked. They had a Remington 81 and 300 Savage, and it looked nice and clean. Now, the problem with auctions sometimes, you know, if you go to a specific gun auction, you probably get people there that are, A, think they're going to get a good deal, and B, there's people willing to bid it up, okay? So you may end up, that Remington 81 may be worth $400 or $500, but it's going to end up going for $900 because somebody else wants it more than you do. So at any rate, that's the problem with auctions sometimes. But once in a while, you do find a good bargain. And this has so many of them. And it has reloading equipment and ammo and reloading components, some primers. I want to say not a whole lot, but, you know, a couple hundred or thousand primers and stuff and some in all calibers. He must have loaded. It says it's a one owner firearms estate. Doesn't say whose it was. But at any rate, that might be a good thing to go to today. Let's see. So I was just listening to the news before the show here, and they talked about, gee whiz, they passed a $1.9 billion COVID relief check bill out of the, well, not actually $1.9 billion for the COVID relief check. Actually, I heard only 9% of it's actually going for COVID relief, but that's, you know, how Washington works. But so they said that this is the one where you're all supposed to get $1,400, you know, COVID checks. I want to say, how do you want to spend your COVID check? I say you buy a gun or reloading equipment, but, you know, that's just me. And, you know, I don't know, depends on your situation. Some of you may or may not get checks depending on how your retirement set up or your income and things like that. But I had a conversation this week with a guy, and he's listener Pat, and he was asking me, this was through email. He had sent me an email at the end of January, and I ended up, they just changed the mail system on my website, and the way it was loading the mail, it put some of them way down at the bottom, and I didn't see them, so I'd missed his until this week. And then I sent to him. He had a question about hand loading equipment, and I want to say this is kind of interesting because a lot of people when they get to the point where they cannot find ammunition in the store. Okay. And actually, you can find some of it online, but you're going to pay an arm and leg for it. Okay. So this is not the time to be loading up on ammo. It's if you need it, if you're taking a class or you're shooting some competitions and you don't have reloading capability already, you know, maybe you end up having to buy it. Okay. You might pay $50 for that 50 round box of Winchester White Box 9mm, or $35 or $45 or whatever. But if you're only going to do that for, you know, once a month or something, then it's not a big deal. I mean, it's still a lot of money. So people start thinking, well, how about hand loading? Gosh, that seems like a good thing to do, and I can save all sorts of money. Well, first of all, you got to buy some equipment to do it. And second of all, you can't find the components right now. And what do I mean by components? Maybe you've got a lot of brass, okay? Maybe you've been thinking about this for a while. So you got a couple thousand rounds of empty spent 9mm brass out there. And you're thinking, man, oh man, I can just load those up for cheap. And well, first of all, you need some equipment. We'll talk about that in a minute. But you also need powder, which you can't find. I had found some powder a couple weeks ago down at Johnson's in Adrian that I needed, fortunately, for this 7mm Remington mag that I was loading for. And I did get that, but that's all they had. They said, oh, we're going to get some more in a couple weeks. We're supposed to get some more in. So I've been checking. Nope, they have not got any more. Now all they got left is a little bit of shotgun powder, okay? But there's primers are hard to find, and what you used to pay like $3.99 for 100 primers, I see people paying $15, $16, $20 for 100 primers, and then they're and a brick of primers is going for $150 or so. I mean, it's ridiculous, okay? And then the projectiles, you can still find some, but not in the popular calibers necessarily. You may not find 9mm. You may not find 45 and stuff like that. So now, unfortunately, is not the time to start hand loading because you kind of like missed the starting gate with this, okay? But it is still the time that you could start getting some of the equipment and stuff. So I was talking with listener Pat about kits, and I had suggested to him a couple of kits. Now, you can get an RCBS, which is one of the premier company, Rock Chucker Supreme Master Reloading Kit, it's called. Okay. Now, I have seen them as low around Christmas time and stuff. And even this last year, like $379 or so. Maybe $415 now even I saw them for. But you're and Amazon, I looked at them, they got the kit for $529. So and that includes shipping, so that's something, but because it is a heavy press and everything. But you're going to spend $400 or $500 for a RCBS kit. Or you could get a Lee kit, which is a Lee is kind of like the value company. Now there's others. I have some Lee stuff, some RCBS stuff. I have a Redding turret press, which is one that has a turret top that you can put 7 dies in and you rotate it around, and that works well if you're like when I was, and I'll explain what I was doing this week with my reloading, but there's always more you can buy. Now, I would always suggest that you start out with a single stage press, okay? And that is because you there's a lot going on one of those, like a Dillon Precision press. You're going to spend a lot of money on that. You're going to spend, by the time you get the shell holders and the dies and all that kind of stuff, you're going to end up with, you know, $1,000, $1,500 in money on one of those presses. But for this $329 that you can get a Lee kit for, you get everything you need to start out except for the actual dies that you're going to use for whatever caliber you're going to suggest or buy. And those are typically $39 to $59, something like that, for a set of dies. And sometimes you can find them. I was at the gun show this last week down at the Washtenaw County Farm Council grounds, and there were some guys there with some reasonably priced dies and stuff. A set of, I didn't need any of the ones they had, but like a set of 308 dies for $19. I mean, that's pretty decent. They were used, and if they're used, it just means somebody's not using them anymore. Not that they're broken or anything, but you have to look at them and make sure that they're okay. And so you can get into a kit for $400 or $500, okay? And then you have to buy some other things. Now, this is where it's going to hurt right now, because you can't get the powder and you can't get the primers. You can get the dyes, likely, but the point is that you're not going to be able to use them yet, okay? So now's a good time to gather up that equipment. Use that COVID check for buying a reloading kit, for buying a tumbler. What do I need a tumbler for? Well, what you do is, it's like a vibratory. They do make them like they used to with the rock rollers, you know, the rock tumblers that go around and around. They make them, and they also use them with little stainless steel pins in them to clean the brass, which is kind of cool. But I typically use a vibratory one. It's looks like a mushroom sitting there. It's got a plastic case on the top, and you unscrew the top and you fill it with crushed ground corn cobs. Okay. And you put in a little bit of polish, and then you stir it all up. Then you dump in your brass, and you can put in, you know, 500 rounds of 9mm at a time, and you let it sit there, and it vibrates away. And then you take it, and I have a thing called a media separator, something else you can spend money on. And you put the cases, because what happens is you go to dump it out of your tumbler, and it's all your cases are full of corn cobs, okay? So what you have to do is you either dump them into like a colander and shake them and get the stuff out, which is how I started out. But I got this thing called a rotational media separator that you dump it in and close it, and it's like a basket, and you got a crank on the side, and it tumbles all of that media out of the brass. So that's some good things to have. And so, but you need those, and you don't think about it until you need them. Okay. You get ready to go, and you go, well, how am I going to clean my brass? And you go, oh shoot, I should have bought a media tumbler. Now, then the other thing is you might look at it and go, well, I'm going to get one of these hydrostatic ones, you know, or ultrasonic ones. That's what I was thinking of, not hydrostatic. Ultrasonic cleaners, like they use for jewelry and watch bands and stuff like that. And I bought one. And actually, I asked Santa Claus for one, and I got it. But I've been disappointed with the results of it. It doesn't clean it. I mean, I like my brass to come out looking like brand new. And it's clean, but it's not really... And by the way, it's easy to get water spots on it then. So can't have water spots on your ammunition. Oh, heaven forbid, you know. So at any rate, I like the regular old-fashioned media tumblers rather than I do the ultrasonic ones. And then now you may look at the kit, and this is something that listener Pat asked me about this week. He goes, well, everybody says you should get a digital caliper and a digital scale. And I want to say absolutely on the digital caliper. It makes it a ton easier for miking your overall length and stuff like that. And because it they usually have a button on it that changes from SAE, you know, to metric. So you can have it be like, maybe it's supposed to be 83.39 millimeters when it's supposed to be 3.29 inches. So, you know, you can go back and forth like that. But at any rate, the digital calipers are absolutely worth the money, okay? Now, a digital scale, I want to say sometimes they even have a powder dispenser or measure built into the scale. So what happens is, like, and this is... what I was going to say, and I'll explain in a bit when I was talking about what I was doing today or this week with my 7mm. When you're putting a charge in a rifle, you aren't necessarily using a large amount of powder, like 50 grains, okay, or 55 grains or 58 grains. What you're using is like 54.7. grains or something like that. So what you do is you use your powder measure and set it up for like 53 grains, and then you use a powder trickler and you trickle in a little bit, just the last bit at a time. Now you know, I want to say a flake at a time, you're trickling in the powder. And so what happens is if you're doing a digital scale, it I suppose it works, you know, but I use an old beam type scale. You know, it looks like something that the guy at the deli used to weigh your lunch meat on, or something like that, where it's got, or it reminds me of the scales like you used to step up on the doctor's office. Remember when you had to put the weights across and stuff like that? Well, it's just like that, only a small scale one. Mine's called RCBS 505, and it is outstanding. And I find it very calming when I'm sitting there trickling in just a little bit of powder and the beam, the pointer's coming up, and then slowly, and then boom, it's right at the exact right point. And I know exactly how much I'm putting in that rifle round. So you don't have to go for a couple $100 or digital scale or a $400 digital powder measure. You can use a regular manual powder measure and a beam type scale. And actually, you know, not to be a prepper or anything, but that beam scale will continue to work if there's no electricity. That beam scale will continue to work years from now when the electronic one may have failed, you know. So at any rate, so what I was doing was, I think I told you last week, I had loaded up some cartridges. I loaded up some cartridges at 50.4, 54.4, and 58.4, which is the low, high, and midpoint number of grains on that 7mm Remington mag for accurate 4350. And so then I went out and shot it. And lo and behold, the 50.4 was about an inch group, and the 58.4 was a 2-inch group. It was a pretty large group, and it was And by the way, it hurt my shoulder too. So it was a max load. And then I had loaded up some at the middle, the 54.4, and I got a less than an inch grouping on that. Well, that gave me my starting point. So now I came back and I loaded up 53.2, 0.3, and 0.6, and 0.7, 0.5 and 6. And so now I'm going to go back to the range and dial it in even further. And I can have a blast with that. And it actually turns out to be part of that hobby that you just, you know, you're splitting the, what is it, gnat's hair, I guess you could say. I want to say it's a lot of fun to sit there and try to wring out that last bit of accuracy out of your firearm. And what you're doing is you're timing the projectile on for when it comes out the front of the barrel and the harmonics of the barrel, because all the barrels will bend a little bit when they fire. And you're trying to get it at the exact node in the center when it's crossing over and not going to be all the way up or down or sideways. And you just get this this fine group. I'm hoping to get a quarter inch group with this thing. So we'll see. And I'm using these really, really good projectiles, which is, by the way, I was able to still find some 7mm projectiles because they're not all that popular. They're nowadays everybody's doing the 6.5s and the 6.8s. And I want to say, well, you know what? A good 7mm is just as good. So at any rate, that's a lot of fun that I worked on this week. And I'm hoping that you guys will think about that. Now, Pat said to me, listener Pat said, oh, well, I think I'll be able to, save some money. And I said, no. And this is very true. He mentioned this too, that you probably won't save any money. Eventually you will. But when you consider the investment and the equipment and stuff like that, it's going to be a while before you break even. But once you buy the all the components and all the stuff that you need, you'll start saving a lot of money at that point, unless you just decide to shoot twice as much. So, yeah, that's the little dirty little secret of hand loading. You can shoot twice as much for the same price. So anyway, and he actually we talked about a joke, and I have said this before on the show, and he mentioned about a friend of his that has guitars, and he said, my greatest fear is that when I die, my wife will sell my guns, or in this case, guitars, for what I told her I paid for them. So that's always that's one of those wink-wink jokes that we like as gun owners, right? Let's see. We are going to talk about, there's some great bills coming out. And we'll talk about some of the politics in a little bit. I didn't mean to spend the whole first half hour on hand loading, but I'm happy to talk to you about it. And if you want to talk more about it, just give a call at 734-822-1600, and we can talk more about it. When we get back, we'll talk about smart gun mandates, okay? Oh, well, smart guns, that sounds pretty smart, doesn't it? Yeah, that's part of that common sense gun ownership stuff. If we all had smart guns, they'd all be perfectly safe. So we'll talk about that a little bit more. And there's also, I want to talk about, and this came up before, there was a listener that called in and asked about, you know, laser shooting and shooting training options without having to use ammunition, because if you can't find a box of 9mm to go shoot, or even a box of 22 to go shoot, then you're, you know, SOL, as they say. And so I talked a couple weeks ago about the different laser options. Well, there is actually gun range, and where is it? In Appomattox. That's in Pennsylvania, right? At any rate, there is a gun range that is setting up specifically for this. So it's kind of cool. We'll talk about it. I think it's a great idea, and I think it'll carry on even when the gun ammunition shortage ends and we start coming back. So at any rate, we'll talk about that in the second hour. And here's something we'll talk about too. Marijuana use and its effect on your guns, okay? This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at Wham Talk 1600 and 92.7 FM. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Wham Talk 1600. Welcome back to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. Call now, 734-822-1600 to join in the conversation.
And we're back. And gosh, I don't know what I was thinking. Gosh, heaven forbid my U.S. history is fleeting. And I'm almost like Theron with no short-term and long-term memory. But Derek informed me that Appomattox is in Virginia. And I went, oh, yes, absolutely. And I'm thinking, why did I think it's in Pennsylvania? Well, something about that name reminds me of a city in Pennsylvania somehow. So thank you, Derek, for our Swiss Army blade of our Swiss Army knife and sharp Swiss Army knife blade of knowledge here at WHIM Talk 1600. So while we're talking about Appomattox, that's where Black Target Firearms is. And what they did is they're regular range, but they can't get guns or, you know, very much ammo either. So they've actually taken some of their bays and they have an ammo-free gun range. And Black Target Firearms in Appomattox is changing the way you practice shooting on the range. And what they have is the range is a large indoor room. It's not a range at all. Okay. And it's got a computer and a projector. And so what happens is you are looking at what looks like a normal target, like one of the IDPA targets or something like that with the rings or the scoring rings on it and stuff. Also, it may have, well, anything that you select actually, and it projects it on the screen. Well, the screen will read from a laser emitter that you can either use your own handgun and the laser emitter slips into the barrel, or you can use, which is probably, I'm thinking one that's in the chamber, but I don't know exactly which equipment they're using, but or you can use one of their guns that's set up with a laser already. And what it does is it reads the feedback from the laser, and I'm looking at a picture of it, and it actually looks, it's like it's got a projected target hanging from a target carrier. So it looks just like the normal sight picture you'd see in a range. And then when you fire, a little hole appears. So, I mean, it gives you the same experience even. Except for probably the noise and the little bit of recoil. But there are actually guns out there that use CO2 and will simulate the recoil as well. But the thing is that it costs $20 for a half hour or $30 for a full hour. And what happens, though, is once you're set up and you start shooting, the laser has an unlimited number of shots. Okay, so instead of, you know, finding a coveted box of 50 rounds of 9mm and getting to shoot that in a half an hour, and it costs you $100 for that, you know, or $70 or whatever, you can spend $20 for a half hour or $30 for a full hour and shoot hundreds of rounds in a realistic simulation. So I think that is actually pretty good. And you know what? That would actually be a decent way to continue to shoot and practice even after this ammo shortage is over. Okay. So I think that's pretty interesting. So now I'm going to go back to the Democrats' smart gun mandate. This is Carolyn Maloney, who's a Democrat from New York. She is one of the ones that has been active for years and years, and she is past her Best Buy date, okay? But she continues to work and push on gun control. And I believe Carolyn Maloney is the one whose husband was actually killed on a subway train. And by the way, if he'd been armed, he probably would have been okay, but, you know, they can't do that. So so what happens is that she has got this new proposal, H.R. 1008, legislation that would mandate that every gun sold within 5 years be equipped with smart technology. Because you know how reliable it is when you go to use your thumbprint on your iPhone or on your Android. You know, that never goes bad. And heaven forbid that your hand is dirty or you got blood on it or it's wet, you know, water on it, or a cut across a fingerprint or something like that. So that's bad enough that they want to do this mandate to make it so that every gun sold within 5 years would be equipped with this smartphone technology, okay? But it goes further than that. It would require all legacy firearms to be retrofitted within 10 years. So that 1918, 1911 you've got, and by the way, it doesn't just say handguns, okay? It says all firearms. So that includes, you know, that antique model 1894 Winchester that you've got? No, you're going to have to cut a big chunk out of that stock and put a smartphone and thumbprint reader in it. I mean, this is just ridiculous, okay? Let's see, Derek, I don't know. Did we have a call here? I saw.
Yeah, there was a caller who called in, but he just needed to know the name of the sporting goods store in Adrian that sells on consignment. And I was able to tell him it was Johnson's Sporting Goods.
Ah, okay. That's good. Thanks for filling that in there. Yep. Johnson's Sporting Goods on M50 on the north end of town. So, and for me, it's 19 miles to get there. I know exactly. I've made that trip many times. Let's see. Here's an interesting thing that I saw just this, I want to say this week. And it's a reminder. Now, I'm not sure how this applies to my listenership here. You guys are conservative typically. But many of you also grew up in the 60s, so I don't I don't know how this goes, okay? But the point is that this is a reminder that even where it's legal, marijuana use eliminates your gun rights. Now, that's not just recreational, okay? That would include medical marijuana. Now, that would be more likely to be somebody our age, because it could be that you've got back pain or you've got arthritis or you're going through chemo or whatever's going on. But the fact is that the state rights and state laws run afoul of the federal laws here. And it gave an example. There was a guy who actually, now it seems interesting, this is a silly thing, but this guy had called the police because he had a loss or had guns stolen out of his car. He had, and I don't know if he was moving them from one location to another or what, but he had 20 guns that were stolen along with his mother's sport utility vehicle when he left the vehicle running with the guns in the back seat. Now, that's pretty stupid, okay? That's like going to the party store and leaving your car running out there, or even the 7-Eleven to go in and get a donut, okay? One of those, what are they, Krispy Kremes or something like that. Not a good idea to leave your car running with the keys in it, and especially if you've got 20 guns in the back seat. Well, so it happened. And so he had called, and I think because there were guns stolen, ATF agents came to investigate. And they called and reported the thefts to the Hartford police 3 days earlier, and then some agents showed up. And the agents told this guy that his illegal use, now I don't know where this was, but the point is that at that point it was illegal use. I don't know how they knew that. But his illegal use of marijuana, now it could even be in a state like Michigan, you could say, well, but it's legal here. But not according to federal law. So they said that his illegal use of marijuana made it illegal for him to possess guns. And they took possession of, he had showed them that he had a, they asked him, did you have any more guns? He goes, yes, I have a semi-automatic pistol. And he took him to the safe and showed him that. And they made him fill out a form and they took possession of it right then and there. Okay, because he had, actually, and it goes on here, that he had previously pleaded to possession of a controlled substance 2 years earlier. Okay, since then, it's legal now, but doesn't matter. So actually, when he ended up going, they agreed to federal sentencing guidelines that called for Holmes to have a sentence of 10 to 16 months in prison. And although the federal probation officer came back and computed a guideline of 18 to 24 months. So this guy ended up in prison for 18 to 24 months for something he had been, you know, caught doing earlier. And by the way, here in Michigan, if you know, whether it's a medical marijuana card or what is legal now, recreational marijuana, it could affect your Second Amendment rights. So I just want to make sure everybody knows that. Let's see. Tennessee governor says constitutional carry is a priority. Well, that's outstanding. He's actually, there's a lot of states around Tennessee that are all have adopted or planning to adopt it. Kentucky, Missouri, Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama are all working on their own legislation for constitutional carry. And the Nashville governor actually said, yep, we absolutely have to get on this bandwagon here. And when the governor's in favor of it, and if your legislation's in favor of it, then you've got a good chance of getting it to pass. And actually, it's interesting that 40% of the states, and do you know that this is very interesting, 40% of the states in the United States now have constitutional carry. That sounds amazing. That's, gosh, almost getting to be a majority. Well, we add a few more of these states in and we'll get to where it is snowballing. Of course, you'll probably never get it in California or New York, but maybe some of the other places. Now, it's interesting because the argument against it, the Nashville Democratic mayor said, oh, that'll allow people to carry who have broken laws in the past. Well, not really. If you can't get a concealed carry permit, you can't, which they have anyway available right now, but if you're under court supervision or have a history of violence or a history of stalking or something like that, you cannot get a permit. And the same thing is true for those people. And those people who would continue to carry and be violators anyway, those people will do it anyway, whether you pass a bill or not. So it's really interesting. The argument kind of falls apart that, oh, well, we have to keep people who are bad guys from carrying a gun so you can't have constitutional carry. Well, if you're a lawbreaker, you can't constitutional carry either because there's still laws against it. Okay, you're a prohibited person. Let's see. Now, back to guns here a little bit. I was, and actually this is more of a gun accessory discussion. And I guess I have for years talked about having a weapons light on a gun, okay? I want to say 15 years ago, something like that, it became more and more popular for handguns to have an accessory rail on them, okay? They usually have either a proprietary one, like a Glock one. It's a little bit thinner than a 1913 Picatinny rail, which is kind of the standard out there on rifles and stuff like that, and also on some handguns. I've got several handguns that have rails on the bottom. And I started out, and I bought a Streamlight, I think it's called a TLSR 1S, because it's got a strobe feature in it. And so I have got a couple of those, and I have them on what I consider to be my nighttime guns, because if it's nighttime and you need to use a gun, you need to know what you are shooting at. And so it is good to have a very high-powered flashlight. You know, we always used to watch them on CSI and NYPD Blue and all those shows where the guys always had their little flashlights, okay, their Streamlight flashlights. Well, then people started getting weapons lights, and you mount them on that rail in the front of your handgun. Now, you have to fire them with it sometime, because they kind of change the mass a little bit. They can make guns a little bit nose heavy, but not greatly. And so I've enjoyed having those guns, those Streamlights on my guns. And they are of the, I want to say, the older technology a little bit. They have LED lights in them, but they use the big CR123 batteries, and they have two of them in it. And the thing that I like about that is that those batteries have like a 10-year shelf life, and I have got firearms that I have put those batteries in, and here they are 10 years later, and they're still working fine. Now, probably time to rotate them out again. But the point is that that the technology has kind of changed. And there's a company called Olight, O-L-I-G-H-T. And they make a lot of the little flashlights that are, you know, like little mini pocket flashlights and things like that. They're really cool. Well, they've come up with one called a PL Mini, okay? Olight PL-Mini, M-I-N-I, and then they put a name on it called a Valkyrie, okay? Let's see. And so and it actually has 400 lumens. And so that's actually twice what mine are, like 200 lumens. And I'm going, wow, I could get one that's 400 lumens. We got a call from Joe from Tecumseh on Nick's Checks. Hi, Joe. How are you this morning?
Doing good, Dick. How you doing up there in Ann Arbor?
Doing fine.
Okay. Last year, the ATF sent out a letter that Michigan concealed pistol license holders will have to go through NICS checks because the state of Michigan is using their own files to do background checks and not the federal FBI one. And that's why we can't just show our CPL card again and, you know, complete our transaction right there and there.
Do you know, I think I have recalled that, and actually I don't think I bought anything new since they've enacted that. But yeah, it used to be nice, especially if you went to a good old fashioned gun store like Johnson's or something like that. You'd show them your CPL, they'd write the number down, and they wouldn't need to call it in. And I remember that story, and it had something to do with something that the Fed said was different in what Michigan was checking versus what they were checking. So there was some technicality in there. It's not that they just didn't want to do it. It's that there was some technicality in there.
Basically, it was the recreational marijuana law.
Ah, that's what it was. Okay. Well, yeah, because although that's interesting, because I wonder if you got buy a pistol, and they were doing would have been doing a check just Michigan wise. I wonder if, I don't think that there's any database that ties into any of the recreational places, so I don't know how they would even know it, you know.
Well, that's what it came down to, because Michigan passed the recreational and the medical marijuana.
I do
also,
remember that.
You know, besides losing your right to carry arms, you know, Second Amendment, you also lose your right to vote because it's a felony.
Uh-oh. Boy, that would be really... Boy, that would have changed the election, right? All the Democrats...
I think it did.
I did. Boy, if they ever did that, then you'd see a landslide on the Republican side. And then because all the, you know, I'm sure those wonderful Antifa folks and everybody, they abide by that law, wouldn't they? Oh, that's really funny. Joe, thank you so much.
That was a double entendre there. Abide by that law.
Yep. Hey, well, thanks,
hey,
Joe,
man.
For calling too. See you later.
Have a good day.
Okay, see ya. Tom from Detroit's on the phone with a comment about the Ruger 57. Hi, Tom.
Hi. That yeah, that looks pretty interesting. I was just wondering if you've heard anything about it. You know, the only thing is the ammo looks like it's pretty pricey. It's you know, the only stuff I saw online was over $2 a round. You know.
Yeah. Everything is that. I want to say that for a good while, the that ammo was running like for a 50-round box, something like $30 or so. And so it was running like 75 cents a round or something. And that was reasonable for, especially for what you were getting. But then nowadays, like anything else, it's very expensive. Everything I have heard and read about it has been wonderful. I have not heard of any problems with it, any feed issues or anything like that, but I don't have any firsthand knowledge. I do know, I want to say at one point, Theron said he was interested in one, so I don't know. I'll have to check with him and see if he's come up with one. But we need to have some firsthand range report on that, don't we, Tom?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that looks like that would be a good one to reload, too, because it's a standard 224 bullet. Yeah, it looks like they load them up to 50 grains weight bullets, so you couldn't use the surplus military ones because there's nothing under 55 I know of. But yeah, that you know, there's nothing. The brass, though, the brass is probably going to be a little pricey, so you'd have to be careful about picking up your brass.
I have seen dyes out there for them already, and they take, you know, standard primers, so that would be really cool, wouldn't it? That'll be, maybe somebody will get in touch with us. Maybe someday I'll get one of those. That happened. Actually, I saw another one today, another company that's come out with a firearm for it, kind of like a one of these pistols that has a pistol brace on it, you know? Looks like a little mini Uzi or something like that. But it, at any rate, I think that's going to open the fact that people are now making more guns for them. The ammo will eventually be cheaper than what it was. So
it looks like Kel-Tec has a 22 caliber handgun. It has a some kind of a 33 round magazine.
They do.
Sounded pretty interesting. I'm not sure how that works. Is it, is it like a drum or?
No. It's 33, 22 rounds in the buttstock, in the grip. And they actually make one kind of like that called a PMR-30 that holds 30 22 magnums, which is kind of cool, too.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for calling, Tom. I'll put feelers out to see if anybody has one of those.
Sounds good.
Okay, see you later. Thanks for calling today. So anyway, I was looking up these weapons lights, the Olight PL Mini, and actually this one is rechargeable, and it's got a small LED, and it's really LED. It's really cute, and it's cheap. It's $79, and I actually looked them up on Amazon. They carry them. They have a new PL Mini 2 that has 600 lumens. For $89. And then they have one that has 600 lumens and a green laser for $129. Oh man, I am behind the times on my weapons lights. I have to learn more about these. I can, I think there will be a first person purchase for one of those for me. The only thing is I'm not sure I like the rechargeable part. It'll be dead when you need it. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at Wham Talk 1600 and 92.7 FM. I'll see you next week.